Coming up on today's show, we got a little bit of news to discuss, including what will Disney's Villains Land be named, and we have the Q3 earnings summary that's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 505 of Traveling with the Mouse, or thereabouts. I'm your host for this week. My name is John, and I am joined by my co-host, my faithful co-host, Adam.
What's up, everybody?
How's it going, Adam?
It is going...
in some direction.
Yes, it is. It's going somewhere.
It's going somewhere, yes.
School is back from summer.
Yes, it's back in full force now. With that being said, that usually accounts for lower attendance, we'll say, in Walt Disney World. Not that it wasn't all that high, it didn't seem to be during the summer, but it was definitely lower. But as we will talk about a little later, it doesn't seem to be affecting Disney somehow.
Yeah. Guest spending.
Let's just run through a few news stories that happened over the last week. We didn't really cover a lot, I guess, the last week because we had just like a special, which we always have something special. But there was a few that I just kind of wanted to highlight and to get through.
So, alrighty.
Kind of an interesting incident here. Trash cans have been removed from Walt Disney World ferry boats after a child reportedly pinned during the recent crash that we talked about. So apparently during that incident, a child was pinned by a trash can.
One, two, three.
During that crash.
Yeah.
So, pinned. Not that kind of pinned.
Oh, ever pinned.
Yes, not that kind of pinned. Pinned up against like the little, whatever, one of the support beams, I guess. Right there, right? So.
That is kind of crazy, but couldn't they just secure the trash cans to the ground, like the wall or the floor of the...
Yeah, I find it hard to believe this is going to be a permanent removal. Yeah, because, it's a short trash journey, but still, I mean, there's very likely that people are going to have trash. They're just going to rethink and redo this, probably, to just do it a little differently.
At the end of a long day, when you're on the ferry boat ride back, you're, like, getting your stuff in order, and you're, like, dumping trash. I mean, it's like the Empire before they go to Lightspeed. They dump their garbage.
Then again, I don't know, unless that thing was packed full, which I find that kind of hard to believe given the attendance, that there would be a completely full ferry.
But if people throw the garbage in the water now, we'll just have to float away.
Be a lot worse. Right.
With the rest of the garbage.
Right. Now, if as many people that travel there did that, then Seven Seas Lagoon would look like more like the trash compactor that they were in.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So I was going full circle on my Empire Strikes Back joke, and then you brought in New Hope.
Yeah, I went way back.
Maybe they'll have one of those monsters in the Seven Seas Lagoon that, you know, like, does it eat the garbage from the trash compactor? I don't know. What was that monster for? Like, what was its purpose? Anyway.
That's a good point. I think he snuck in there somehow. I don't know. There was no purpose. He just ran down in there. He just ran down that sewer and
got to the car.
Swam in the trash.
Where does that thing live in the trash compactor if the thing compacts every time? Where does it go?
Know. Well, obviously it disappeared, right? Luke said that.
Yeah.
Or went somewhere. I don't know. It just disappeared because it knew it was about to be compacted. So it had somewhere it knew to go while the compacting was happening.
So
there you go.
Why doesn't the garbage just go in the same place that went and it doesn't get compacted? The Empire wasn't very smart where they built stuff.
They didn't hire the best engineers. Clearly. They hired the same people that do Disney's app.
Giant monster can get in your trash compactor on a space station floating in space. Like, how does that happen?
And not only that, a space station that has a weakness they can exploit.
Rogue One explains that one.
They do, but, you know, was Urso, I mean, couldn't he have made it a little more, you know, less challenging to, I mean, if he was going to create a flaw, it's like, you have to, it's a flaw, but you still have to hit it perfectly.
Right. You have to be able to bullseye Womp Rat in your T-16.
Yeah, not only that, you have to somehow magically fire rockets and then they take like a 90-degree turn down a hole. I don't know how that happens, but
if they're like homing missiles, then why didn't the first guy make it? He's like, exactly. Oh, I didn't make it. Didn't go in. But Luke's like, sure, I guess that was the Force.
Maybe he forced him in there. Moving along, Block and Barrel. Beacon Barrow.
Yes.
You know, the opening's August the 29th, right?
This was a big story that just happened after our last episode, so we didn't get to talk about it.
So, yeah, the Beacon Barrel food and drink menu has been revealed. Pirates of all ages will be able to enjoy two tasty drink selections, meaning, obviously, that they're non-alcoholic. The treasure trove, you would think. That's what I hope that means.
Yeah.
So, and it looks kind of cool, if this is the right image.
One with,
but it's like
Jack Sparrow's skull. Isn't that what that looks like?
Not the one I'm looking at.
There's one that's served in a skull. Oh, that's not one of the non-alcoholic.
That's not the one I'm talking about first. Yeah, the treasure trove. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, you're getting ahead of yourself.
I was looking at the wrong one. Sorry.
Right. Is that ube? Is that how you say that? Lemon and coconut. You can also snack on some sweet treats like a vanilla cake plank, chocolate cannonball, and golden caramel popcorn.
Ooh.
So,
chocolate cannonball.
Yes. Not chefs. Let's see. The Cursed Treasure is the other non-alcoholic sip, as they refer to them. It's a combination of coconut milk and cookie crumbs topped with vanilla foam and Pirate's Gold Cookie. That sounds actually pretty good.
I can deal with that.
Yeah. So then the next item is Kraken's Catch. This cold salad is quite unique with octopus tentacles. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Marinated in lemon and lime juice and paired with olives, bell peppers, avocado, and pico pepper almond foam. Sounds a bit spicy.
Yeah. I don't think I would order that.
Okay. And so we have the Salty Seas Margarita. Features South Asian flavors such as ube, which gives it a striking purple color, as well as Lalo Blanco tequila, Cointreau liqueur, and lime.
Control.
So what's your rating on that one? Does that one sound appealing at all? Not sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Siren's Whisper. This one combines pot and column still white rum with citrus and spice. Says it was also inspired by the Fountain of Youth, so it's known as the Aqua de Vida.
Oh, yeah, that's the blue one.
Yeah.
Looks weird. Looks like blue Gatorade, but...
And it says, for the final drop of allure, the drink is topped with a special siren tear. So...
What does that mean?
Well, you know, from the movie. Remember they had to have a tear in there? Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
From one of the mermaids. Yeah.
On Stranger Tides, right?
Yes. So there's some food items now. Cook's Corn Griddle Cakes. Warm corn cake stuffed with melted cheese, lime sour cream, and chili peppers topped with cotija cheese. I'm not familiar with that. Cotija cheese?
Cotija
cheese? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
That looks interesting to me. I would eat that.
That one, I'm going to say, that one has the most appealing item I've seen so far, I think, that I wouldn't mind trying. I think this is probably going to be more your style. Barrels Ablaze features Jack Daniel's blended bourbon, a hint of honey, and a dash of spice.
Yeah, that one looks good. Anything that's kind of like a old-fashioned.
It's kind of like
the hint of honey is interesting.
Hibiscus Rum Punch Royale. So this one is a rum-based drink topped with Prosecco. I'm not sure what that is.
That's sparkly.
Okay, the bubbly effervescent combined with hibiscus, Demaria, and citrus will make you feel like you're charting the Atlantic. Unless it gets in a tin cup. Pretty much. Anyway.
Yeah, it looks like a Moscow Mule type cup, but anyway.
Island Provisions. Let's see, what does it say here? Grab your crew for the shareable bite with plantain chips, blue corn tortilla, and toasted flatbread served with various savory dips. That one could be interesting.
Yeah.
Port of call, London dry gin, ruby port, lemon juice, and spiced cranberry. That sounds pretty good. Lit fuse. Get it?
Yes.
With Lo Siento Misterios, Doba.
Ooh. Mezcal, so that's yeah. Like a smoky one, okay.
And flavors of banana, coconut, well, and smoked chili bitters.
Mm.
Sounds why? Because it's smoked.
Yeah, and it's got, you know, sweet and smoky and a little spicy. Yeah.
That's Plunderer's Punch. Where's the rum gone?
Oh, this is the one. Right, this
into
is
the Plunderer's Punch.
About. Sorry.
Yes, Kraken black spice rum, blackberry, vanilla, and a hint of citrus. So, and it comes in a pirate skull mug. So, there you go. And it comes with Jack Sparrow's skull, apparently, like you said.
That's what it looks like.
The looks of the bandana.
Although it has a cap over one of the eyes, but the bandana looks like Jack Sparrow's.
And for people who like draft beers,
yeah,
it says it will become home to exclusive, including Victory Brewing Company's Pirate's Paradise Blonde Ale and Wicked Weed Brewing Buried Treasure Session Sour. That's a long title. Bottled and canned lager and IPA, such as Modelo Especial Lager, Red Stripe Lager, and Bell's Two Hearted IPA. So, there you go.
Makes sense. Red Stripe's a Caribbean beer, so.
They have some wine as well.
Great beer.
Include the Spice Root Chacala Red Blend, Quinta de Santiago Viverde, Vire Prosecco.
How much do you think they're going to sell this mug, this Jack Sparrow skull mug for? I'm going to guess $75.
You think it's that much?
Yeah.
For a drink with that?
Drink and the signature mug, I bet it's $75. That'd be my guess.
Nah.
You don't think so? I think it's every bit of that. You think it's less than $75? I think it's at least $75.
You say at least $75. I don't think that's what they're going for with this lounge. I'm going to say $50.
What do they charge for like the pork thing? Isn't that like $75?
Matter of fact, I'm going to say $45. I don't know. What's the pork thing? I don't know. I really don't keep up with this. So I don't have an idea. I don't know. How much is that?
Let me double check to make sure.
Well, if they do, then so be it.
So be it, pirate. Oh.
Well, while you're looking that up, I'm going to move along to the next story. Seabase Aquarium signage is revealed at Epcot. Apparently, that's what they're putting over what's the store area for Finding Nemo. So I guess it's kind of clearly labeling it as if you want to just see the aquarium part without having to go through the ride, you can just go that way. Of course, you can't really see it from the main entrance, so you do still have to kind of know to go around the side, I guess. But
all right.
So it's still for those that already know, right? Did you find it?
No.
Okay.
I gave up.
So it's not important. Yeah. So apparently Disney has rolled out all new Sony cameras for their PhotoPass service. I wonder if they have a new sponsorship with them or something I'm unaware of.
Maybe.
Because didn't they have a big Kodak sponsorship once upon a time?
Yeah.
I want to say they did.
They did,
yeah. They had Kodak for a lot of things. And I don't recall them ever swapping to anything else that I know of, but maybe Sony offered them a good deal for using their cameras.
Yeah. An offer they couldn't refuse.
Right. Shiny Spaceship Earth exterior refresh is underway. Shiny Spaceship Earth.
Does this mean they're going to fix some of the LED lights that are broken?
They're going out. Let's hope. Let's hope it works better than fixing the lights on the concrete and the ground.
Oh, it looks like it's mostly the building behind it where Geo82 is now, right? Or are they doing any work on the actual
Well, it just said exterior. So maybe they are doing some on the geosphere as well. So,
okay. Is this precursor to the upcoming refurb, right? There's
I think that's still in the, you know, they threw it to the back, kind of like the Monsters, Inc. coaster idea. It's one of those things that maybe one day they'll uncover it again.
Well, they're doing a short refurb on it coming up, aren't they? I thought.
Not long enough to make the changes, though.
No. But it's like for a month, maybe, coming up?
It's enough to freshen things up, probably. which is essentially what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Which takes us to one of our bigger stories, which you have the skinny on, Adam.
Yeah.
Disney Parks revenue tops $9 billion for Q3 in 2025, which is unbelievable. That I think that's like the largest earnings report ever, right? That they've had.
Might have, yeah.
Which is surprising, kind of given the
how slow it's been.
What we've seen, yeah. So I don't know where they're making all this money. So can you break it down for us? You have the breakdown.
Yeah. So the big picture is, yes, up 8% from last year, $9 billion. Operating income was $2.5 billion. That's up 13%. The domestic parks had $6.4 billion in revenue, $1.6 billion in income. Operating income is up 22% thanks to guest spending, and it says more cruises. That's, I think the cruise line has helped a lot, having new ships.
Cruise line would have made a difference, yes. New ships, people wanting to get on those new ships, and those new ships costing more, all played factors into that, I'm sure.
Yep. Where it says international parks revenue is $1.69 billion revenue, $422 million in income, which is actually down 3%.
Interesting.
Yeah. Internationals were down slightly. And reasons why, given guest spending is up, still, like, good Lord.
That's because they're nickel and diming guests.
Yeah. Which I think this year, they haven't been nickel and diming as bad because they've had a lot of good discounts, but...
Well, let's just say the discounts are all on rooms. Room prices have probably stagnated, to be honest, overall.
A little bit.
Not everything else. Just something we were just discussing. You were anticipating, you were projecting what they would charge for an alcoholic beverage. Even if they did $75, that mug, the alcohol itself and everything, they're making a major profit on that one item.
Which is why they're
going to charge that amount.
Right. That's why they keep building more bars, because like everyone wants to go. That's why they're building one at the Grand Floridian lobby.
Well, it's kind of like gambling. People can, they know they can get a certain sector of the public to throw their money at it. So,
yeah. People like these signature drinks. Geo82 is probably a huge profit maker already.
Quite possibly. Yeah. And you don't even really have to have that many people in order to profit. Like I said, all you could do is sell one drink, really, and you're making a profit.
Right, because they're marked up like 100% or more.
Yeah, that's got to be a high profit item. That's got to be one of their highest profit items on property right now.
Yeah. Okay, so cruise business is up. We talked about that more, like the Disney Treasure and all that has started sailing, so that's helped. Higher hotel occupancy, which, I don't know, when I was there, it didn't feel like it was nearly as busy as it. You know, like at Pop Century, it felt like there was plenty of rooms open there. I actually got the room I requested, so.
Well, you know, not every day is going to be, or every week is going to be the same, so maybe you got a good week or a good time period.
It's saying Easter fell in Q3 this year, I guess.
Easter fell in Q3.
The Easter was later.
Because of when Easter was?
I guess that's what they're saying, yeah. And it said it boosted results by $40 million.
So what do they consider Q3?
The last 3 months. Let's see what August, September, October is. Q4, so up to July.
No, they start their fiscal year in October. So October, November, December.
Yeah,
right.
That's Q1. Q2 would have been January, February, March. Then so April, this would be June.
April, May, June is what we're talking about. So we're really not even talking about all of the summer.
Yeah.
We're just talking about the beginning of the summer. So they made a good bit of business during springtime, essentially.
Yeah, it made up for the slow summer, I guess. So it's a slight offset from higher costs due to new offerings and cruise expansion. All right, but yes, cruise line has gone from 5 to 8 ships in the last few years. So Disney Destiny is coming this November, and then Disney Adventure is coming after that. And it says both have at least $30 million in Q3 pre-opening expenses. Or is that booking? Full year cruise pre-opening costs expected to be $185 million. So they're expecting 8% operating income growth for experiences segment in the fiscal year overall. So that would be October. By then we'll know. And 9 months year to date, $27.4 billion in revenue, which is up 6%.
Wow.
They're still rocking and rolling, apparently.
I find it interesting because the follow-up story I see here that Disney, I'm not going to go into the deep part of the story, but it says, following strong theme park earnings, Disney takes a shot at Epic Universe, calling Walt Disney World resilient. Yeesh. I find that funny just because, like, they were only in operation for the last month of that quarter.
Right.
Was Epic Universe.
Be careful what you say. Yeah.
I'm just like, they were only in operation for the last month. If you're going to base it on what wait times look like across the Universal, they've actually had some pretty extended wait times from what I've looked at. So in comparison to Disney's, which has kind of been somewhat flat during the summer. So, I mean, I feel like we'll just see what Q4 looks like when all is said and done. Of course, every company is going to tout their successes whenever they come out. But I don't know. I mean, that's good. They had good numbers. It was some of the best ever. I feel like there's more and more people wanting to travel during the cooler times of the year. But just because, I mean, who wants to be out there when it's blazing? You know, I mean, I think there are some people in the later half of the year probably opting to check out Epic Universe. And it might be that way for a little longer than that. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. They tend to attract two different types of crowds, though, for the Halloween season. Obviously, Universal's is more adult-oriented with their, the houses that they put. The Halloween Horror Nights is more geared toward the teen, 20s, you know,
audience.
What is it? The 18 to what age is it they call it in the demographics?
35, maybe.
Yeah, maybe something like that, more so. Whereas, obviously, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween is geared more toward kids. So they're really marketing to two different audiences right there. In that. Yeah. And they both turn out to be successful in their own way. So
I think in general, they appeal to different audiences for the most part. I mean, there's definitely overlap, but
yeah.
But it's not like Disney's not going to be impacted by this at all.
Right. I
mean, there's going to be construction zone for the next 3 years. It's going to have some kind of impact on crowds until this new stuff starts opening up. So
late August, mid-September, Not So Scary Halloween parties are now sold out. I'm trying to think if this feel like it's selling out faster or slower than normal.
I think they've raised the price and lowered the number of people.
You think they might have lowered the capacity?
I think they did. Lowered the capacity, raised the price.
I kind of hope they have lowered capacity because it was getting to the point where it didn't even feel like it was a special event. It was getting to the point where it was like, I'm getting to pay more money to be here with just as many people as during the day.
The last Halloween party I went to was jam-packed. It didn't feel like lower crowd. It felt like a regular day at Magic Kingdom.
And I think they're probably combating people complaining about, you know, they have to stand in line if they want to see a certain character pretty much the whole time the party's going on.
Because that was 18 or 19, something like that. And that was, we waited 45 minutes to see Moana because my son wanted to see Moana.
Yeah, and like half the party's over.
Yeah, it was like 45 minutes of the party. She took a smoke break like halfway in, and she didn't come back because she was a face character. So she didn't come back for like 15 minutes.
Yep. They couldn't have like two Moanas there?
I thought. I was like, really? No. He's not smoking a cigarette in the utilidors while we're standing out here waiting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm going to move along to another Halloween-related thing that I found was kind of interesting. That's Jock Lindsey's Halloween Hangar Bar. Did they do this before? Halloween theme it? I don't think they have. I've
seen the Christmas one, which I liked, but this is cool.
Yeah. Well, that's the first ever. It says it right here, first ever overlay. So there you go. And it's going to be from August 19th through November the 4th.
Nice.
So just trying to go a quick overview. They're going to have something called Alien Invader Sliders, which is, of course, a Nashville hot fried chicken with sliced provolone, dill pickle slices, cheddar chive biscuit, and queen olives. cursed mummy sausages, which are mini smoked sausages wrapped in puffy pastry, basically pigs in a blanket, pretty much. But they have a new pomegranate mustard sauce. Phantom dumplings, which are chicken and pork dumplings wrapped in rice paper and served with teriyaki dipping sauce. Also new.
Interesting.
Zombie eye bites, which are traditional deviled egg filling, crispy fried chicken, and black olives. I'm sure it's obviously made to look like these things that we're discussing.
Disgusting. It looks like it should be a dessert, but it's savory, so it looks weird.
Snake egg surprise.
You have snake eggs in your drink.
Yes. Simply boba. Lemonade, lime juice, desert pear syrup, and green apple boba pearls. So,
boba.
Cauldron cooler, which is Hendrix gin, Domaine de Canton ginger liqueur, lemon juice, simple syrup, and butterfly pea extract. What's a butterfly pea? I don't think I've ever had that.
Butterfly pea? I've never had it. I've never drinking butterfly pea, of course.
Scarab beetle essence. Gross. So why would they have a scarab beetle? Is that a poke? Siesta Key silver rum, Malibu coconut rum, Bowles Blue Curacao? Is that how they say it?
Liqueur. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Curacao liqueur. That's right, from Curacao. Dole pineapple juice and grenadine.
Ooh, okay.
Skull of the Dead, mojo pork, cheddar, flour tortilla, and pickle pico de gallo. Say that three times fast. Yeah. The Spike Trap, Malibu coconut rum, Stoli vanilla vodka, cream of coconut, and Sprite garnished with ghost marshmallow.
Yeah.
So they're basically just theming these things to Halloween. It doesn't really sound as appealing as the normal stuff, really.
Not really, yeah. I mean,
I'm sure some of the normal stuff will be there.
I do like that when bars or lounges do like these little overlays for different holidays, occasions, and theme the drinks to it is cool. I think, again, another reason why they're making tons of money off of these like alcohol drinks for sure, because they can create a theme and then it just drives more people to show up and Instagram these drinks and such and treats.
So to break from the Disney for a moment, to go back to Universal, because this was here, I just want to make this mention.
All right. If you must.
Monsters Unchained is Epic Universe's first attraction to reach the 1 million rider milestone.
Okay.
So.
Big whoop. Good for them. 1 million.
So going from back to earlier, I didn't actually know that there was a new release article on this since the first one I did. So the menu prices have been revealed for Beacon Barrel. So we'll see if you were correct, sir. So the island provisions, which was the tortillas, is $16. Cook's corn griddle cakes with chipotle braised chicken was $14. Corn griddle cakes with roasted corn and poblano peppers, $12. The Kraken's Catch is $18. That was the one with the octopus tentacles. Signature cocktails. Okay. Siren's Whisper, $20.
You're right. All
right. Port of Call, $19. Lit Fuse, $18.50. Barrels Ablaze, $19. Hibiscus Rum Punch Royale, $19. Salty Seas Margarita, $20. Plunderer's Punch, $46.
So you're off by
$1. I actually changed my last one to $45, didn't I?
Yes, you did. All right. I actually thought Disney would gouge that. I really thought that.
See, you got to remember, it's also in Magic Kingdom, and you don't have a whole lot of options for that. So they probably want more people to you know, indulge in it, sort of. I didn't feel like it was going to be one of those things that was going to be quite as special as, what was another one you said that was really expensive?
The one,
like the
teeth or whatever at Galaxy's Edge. It's like, comes in.
What's the most expensive one at La Cava?
They had one. Well, the Smoky Ninja is like $50. They had one that was like, I forgot what it was. Like, it was $50 or $60 that had the signature like ice cube you could like refreezable ice cube, the metal one. I forgot how much that was. I think it was like $60 maybe.
So you were only off by $30.
Right. But I was thinking the Rancor teeth. I think it was the Rancor teeth, but that is like four like shot glass size, and it comes with its own tray. But that's like $75, I think. the Rancor.
Well, I mean, how many, I mean, it's because rank. It's because Rancors are rare. I mean, skulls are not rare.
They pulled them out of an actual Rancor. Yeah.
Anyway,
okay. I just thought because it's like looks like Jack Sparrow that it would be like
maybe more expensive. Price. Yeah. Well,
46 ain't bad actually.
You know, Bob Chapek's proud of you, Adam, for your thinking.
Right. Somewhere Bob Chapek is like.
He's smiling. They're
way undercharging for that.
Anyway,
limit one per get.
Okay, so we talked about the animation courtyard reimagining, right? So they're bringing the sorcerer's hat back. We already talked about that, but the permits have been filed on that one.
Good.
So
I'm glad.
Apparently, the Beat to the Concert series lineup was not completely filled out for Epcot, and Newfound Glory is going to fill the last spot. Haven't they been there before?
I think it says they're new.
It's brand new. Okay. Well, you sure it's not New Found Glory? Not new,
maybe
new.
Maybe they were just, right. Maybe Found Glory was new. So. Anyway, I do like that they're opening up that arch, though. I think we've said that before, but it's going to look much better.
All right. One thing that I wanted to talk about. Well, that we've seen, of course, the draining of the rivers of America ahead of demolition. It's going down slowly but surely.
Yeah. Sad. But yeah, it's happening. I did see that.
Land clearing for Galaxy's Edge construction. Have you seen this?
What is this going to be? Yeah.
I don't think anyone really knows other than they're just basically clearing the land. I don't think we have any great... Go ahead.
I was going to say, are they... Because they're building something... like a snack bar on the other side, the Toy Story side, in this general area. It's basically the walkway between Toy Story Land and Galaxy's Edge. Are they finally going to theme it better? That's what I was
it's
getting
It's possible. At. Then again, based on the size, maybe they're getting ready to do something restaurant or food related. Maybe it'll be something that they talk about at D23 or mention at D23.
Maybe. Because I'm trying to think the Disneyland equivalent of this is basically behind Big Thunder, right? This area. So it's another tunnel at Disneyland. I don't know why they didn't build. Maybe they're going to build a tunnel. It should actually be nice. You'd have a shelter from the rain somewhere nearby, too, which would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I'd love to see it.
You'd love to see it. Something that was not in the stories here, but it came out just recently. ESPN, right, which is Disney. There was a lot of speculation that this is one of the properties that Disney would sell off eventually. Well, apparently they're doubling down because they're putting a new direct consumer streaming service. It's going to be coming out very soon, August 21st, which offers sports fans access to the network's full side of programming without a traditional cable subscription. I didn't really see fully what the, there's going to be like a plan that includes, there's bundle options, but the standalone, right, if you wanted to get it standalone, is $29.99 a month or $300 a year.
Okay.
That includes access to all of ESPN's networks, you know, ESPN2, USCC, ACC, News, Deportes, all of that stuff, right? It's going to cover approximately 47,000 live events annually, including the NFL, NBA, you know, basically all the sports, including golf, right? The Masters, the PGA Championship. On-demand replays will be also available on their original programming. So getting down to that, there's select plans that cost less, but I feel like they don't include near any of the amount that the unlimited plan does. But there are bundle options, which I don't know what this is going to affect people who currently have like the Hulu bundle with Disney Plus, right? So first one has unlimited with Disney Plus and Hulu with ads for $35.99 a month, which is not too bad considering, with a promotional offer of $29.99 a month for the first 12 months. So really you're getting the original ESPN unlimited package, but you're also getting Disney Plus and Hulu, it sounds like. Unlimited with Disney Plus and Hulu, no ads is $44.99 a month. ESPN Select with Disney Plus and Hulu is $16.99 a month, and Select with Disney Plus and Hulu, no ads, is $26.99 a month. Interesting enough, too, that also during this, starting in 2026, right? So basically, Disney's getting in bed with WWE now because they have a partnership that they're going to start showing their, what they call PLEs now, premium live events, what we used to call pay-per-views because they're no longer on pay-per-view.
I see.
Will be available on ESPN service, succeeding the previous deal with Peacock. So,
interesting. Yeah.
It's weird that they said, okay, so let's just say going back a decade roughly, I think it was 14 when the WWE Network launched, right? At $9.99. It was solely theirs. They end up getting a deal with Peacock. I forgot what year that happened.
Okay.
So they bring all the library over to Peacock. And then here recently, they get this deal for just Raw on Netflix. So now they have... So if you're a wrestling fan, let's just say if you were a wrestling fan, you would now see all of their programming, because Peacock's going to keep SmackDown because that's on their network.
Wow.
So okay. To see all of their programming, you have to have Netflix, Peacock, and some version of the ESPN streaming service, the new ESPN streaming service.
Do they still have their own as well?
Or no.
They've diverted it off.
Okay. Oh, the WWE Network?
Yeah.
It was available overseas because it wasn't, this is more like a US thing, all this is, but I think they may still be available over in, you know, outside of the US that way still in some places. But yeah, I'm curious as to what this is going to do to my current Hulu package. I still have the legacy package, which I had paid in advance, of course, like we all did for Disney Plus.
Right.
And so they kind of discount it. It's like they factor that price in really and just take it off of the Hulu package price pretty much.
Oh yeah, what is gonna happen? Are they gonna give you a new bundle?
I guess price? That's what I would think. If you want to add that in there, they probably have a new offer, which this is coming up very soon, that's gonna start launching, so I guess they'll have more details very soon. But also they're talking about dropping the Hulu service, like dropping the Hulu app basically and putting it all through the Disney Plus app. So they're considering like combining the apps. Right. I think most people would agree. I kind of do too. I think they like the Hulu interface a little better than the Disney Plus one. So they probably like it if they did it the other way around, but Disney's not going to do that, obviously. Now that I think they have full control of Hulu now, right? They finally got the remaining bits of it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they bought out the remaining shares. Right. So they're considering just combining them all into Disney Plus, which I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, it'd be nice, I guess, to have just one app, but I mean, I've also kind of liked, I've had times when I've liked seeing my live TV different than the Disney Plus or separate from the Disney Plus. Yeah. I don't know. Do you use the full package, the Hulu live TV or no?
I just have Disney Plus. I don't have Hulu. Well, yeah, I don't use Hulu but I still have Netflix and all that, but not Hulu. So,
do you have anything for what you would consider the traditional cable alternative?
YouTube TV.
So you use YouTube TV. Okay. I've had it once before, but there was one channel on YouTube TV, I think at the time, that I could not get those, which is why I switched it. I forgot what it was. Hulu just seemed to have a better lineup, in my opinion, at the time. Now, YouTube TV has changed theirs a couple of times too. So it's probably, if you like, from my understanding, if you like a lot of the, especially NFL, you have better options with YouTube TV, or you have had, because you had the option of doing that DirecTV package. But I only brought that up because it was a connection to Disney, obviously, because Disney is kind of like, it's weird. It's like once upon a time, you'd have these things where they would strike down deals to keep people from becoming a monopoly, but Disney seems to be allowed to monopolize anything they want. It's very odd. Unless this deal somehow gets struck down, I kind of doubt it, but no. It's just funny that basically, I mean, does this mean we're going to start seeing WWE characters involved in Disney World in some capacity?
Well, are they going to be wrestlers? They're going to have Raw outside of Hollywood Studios.
Right. Like we talked about with WCW. I mean, they're going to have a brand new WWE attraction. That'd probably be a better idea to use the Disney Quest building for.
Oh, the WWE experience?
Yeah.
Can you get like body slammed by a pro wrestler trainer or something?
You might find a lot of people on board with that, believe it or not. But I don't know. We'll see how this move works out overall. But anyway, I thought I'd put that in there. So we were talking earlier about how at D23, it's suspected, right?
Yeah.
Prediction. They're going to announce. Yeah, that they're going to announce the name of Villains Land in particular.
Yep.
So we thought it'd be interesting to talk to AI and compile things concerning what's out there, right? Mm-hmm. So it's part of the expansion land. It's called, the Beyond Big Thunder expansion, which mm-hmm. is funny because not a whole lot of it's really going behind Big Thunder anymore. It doesn't seem like. Seems like it's mostly like to the side, to the right of Big Thunder. more or less.
But there's a lot of land being cleared back there, so who knows?
Yeah, but it seems like the majority of it's happening in existing land, right?
Yeah. I mean, so far, yes.
No official name confirmed, but we have speculations. There's been some through social media. What did you find of the ones speculated on social media? Or did you have that list?
I
had a couple. I only had like three suggestions from it, but...
Oh, you mean, of the land name or other... Of what
potential names that have been discussed... Like, so for instance, I'm looking into Grok and you're looking into ChatGPT, right?
Yes.
So Grok's course features its X platform, right? Because that's who it integrates with mostly. Yeah. Speculated potential names, not very creative ones, really. UnFantasyLand was one.
Right.
This one's not too bad. Forbidden Fantasy, Land of Villains. Okay. And Misty Moor, a Disney villain experience.
Misty Moor.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like
a person.
Yeah. I was sort of thinking like a singer or something, like a new artist.
Mandy Moore.
Yes, new artist. Yeah. Misty Moor.
All right. So, Mandy did you Moore's have any of those, or was it just the top 10 ones that you had? Because I have a top 10 too.
Mine divided into three categories. There's dark and dramatic, there's fan bait names. And then there's lean into storybook lore names.
Interesting.
And these are like made up. I don't think there's any like, they're not speculation.
That they've seen. Okay. Gotcha. These are all created by AI.
And what it thought.
So do you have a top 10?
No. Well, I could make it, but there's 15 that it came up with total, five in each of these three categories.
Okay. Shoot. So I'll let you know if we have any that match.
Okay. So in the dark and dramatic category, there's Shadow Realms.
Which is actually the number one on there. It's called Shadow Realm, evokes a mysterious, ominous domain where villains reign.
So that one was a match. It says it feels big and mysterious, like you're stepping through a cursed portal.
Interesting.
The next one is The Forbidden Kingdom.
Don't have that one.
Regal but dangerous. The next one is Legends of the Dark.
Legends of the Dark.
Yeah.
Sounds like a heavy metal band.
Yeah, it does, yeah. The next one is Maleficent's Dominion.
See, I have that one, actually.
Yeah.
Maleficent's Dominion was a suggestion. It says, centers on a key Disney villain, suggesting her control over the land.
Yeah. I could see them doing she's probably the character that if it was going to be named after, it'd probably be her, especially the rumor it'd be her coaster, but yeah.
Right. I think that they're going to have a attraction based off of her. Right. So seems that way.
And the last one in this category online is the cursed lands land.
That's kind of like get my money on the out of here.
Right, yeah. I don't think that one would be it, though. The Cursed Lands. It doesn't
sound. That one's pretty lame, actually. What was the description?
Simple, ominous, and kid-friendly enough to fit Disney's tone.
So that was the first five, I'm assuming?
Yes. Those were the dark and dramatic category.
Okay. We found two matches in that one. Let's see about the next category.
The next category is fan bait. So it fan says, bait. Rogue's Gallery, a nod to all the famous villains in one place. Mm. Wicked Realms, short, memorable, and fits merch beautifully. House of Villains, same as the old Disney Channel special, which gives nostalgia points. The Badlands, snappy and works for all ages.
The Badlands, isn't that the description of an area in like New Mexico, though?
Probably.
Okay.
That sounds familiar. Sinister Shores, works especially well if they theme part of it around water or ship-based villains like Hook or Ursula.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was the five there. Yep. I had some that I thought were going to be, they started similar, but they were not exact. For instance, there was a Wicked Hollow was one of the, you know, he had one that started Wicked.
Right.
It was my number three, actually. A Sinister Forested Enclave for Villainy. Enclave for Villainy.
A Wretched Hive of Scum and Villainy.
Right. Then there was a Sinister Spire named for a towering ominous structure at the land's heart, if they have such a thing. So that's kind of weird. Those were the closest ones that were in that category. So,
yeah.
But not all exact.
Right. So the last category that Mon came up with was more fairy tale vibes. It says leaning into the storybook lore. So this one is Nightfall Hollow.
It combined one of them.
Yeah. So like a haunted forest and fairy tale mix.
Just two different names. Yeah.
Right. Shadow Spire. Sounds like a dangerous tower in the middle of the land.
See, that's funny because mine called it Sinister. Okay, go ahead.
AIs think alike, huh?
I guess, just a little slight differences.
So Twilight Keep feels like a cursed castle setting. Fables of the Forbidden. That doesn't roll off the tongue very easily. More poetic, it says. The last one is The Enchanted Doom. Sounds like a ride, though. The Enchanted Doom. I got a lightning lane for the Enchanted Doom.
That's what it's called. Well, I have one with Doom in it. It says Doom's Domain, a broad, menacing title encompassing all villains. Of the ones I didn't name yet, there's something called Grimhold, which was a foreboding name employing a stronghold of evil. Crimson Vale suggests a dark, blood-red valley ruled by villains. Vile Haven, twisted sanctuary for Disney's most nefarious characters. Huh. Nightmare Nexus, a central hub of villainous schemes and dark magic. Curse Wood, a haunted wooded land steeped in villainous lore. And I already told you about Sinister Spire, and I told you about Doom's Domain already. So I wonder if I told it to make it more like related to Disney characters, maybe. Let's see. We're going to try to. Okay, so I told it to make it more to reflect villains' personality, so they gave me another 10. So number one was Maleficent's Curse Hold. Inspired by Maleficent's dark magic in her cursed castle. Ursula's Abyss kind of fits. Evoking the underwater lair of the sea witch. That sea witch from The Little Mermaid. Scar's Shadowlands, which, you know, it was part of the shadowy. What's that shadowy place?
That's funny because mine just did that too.
Is that Scar's Shadowlands?
Shadowlands, yeah. The Shadowlands.
Jafar Sultanate. Okay. Reflecting his power hungry schemes. Cruella's Chaos Court.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hades Underworld.
Interesting. Sounds like the seedy underbelly of.
Well, I mean, it's inspired by the fiery, sarcastic domain of Hades and Hercules.
So
Captain Hook's Black Cove. No, what? Is there some similars?
Well, mine picked one straight from The Descendants, which is called The Isle of the Lost. That's actually where the villains lived.
Right. So, yeah. Interesting. That's actually not a bad idea.
Isle of
Except
the Lost.
For it's not the kids, but.
Right.
Unless I change their theming idea.
Yeah. The Elephant Graveyard. Briar Woods. A twisted
Briar Woods.
Sleeping
sounds
Beauty
like a person.
Woods.
This is Briar Woods.
The cursed thicket.
Cursed thicket. Okay.
Sounds like Shady Thicket. Anyway.
They're all making it related to that character's like style, I guess, which is kind of
Davy Jones depths. Wouldn't it be Davy Jones locker?
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to go in that direction, villain.
Yeah. Ursula's lair.
Yeah, that was similar to Ursula's abyss. What was it now?
Hades Underworld. That was another. There you go.
Yep, I had that was a match.
Dr. Facilier's Voodoo Realm.
Now, see, I do have a Facilier, but it says Dr. Facilier's Bayou. Tapping into the voodoo magic and shadowy swamps of the Princess and the Frog.
The Cave of Wonders. Not quite.
Is that villainous?
I mean, kind of, but...
Who disturbs my slumber?
Not bad.
Oogie's Town? What? Oogie's.
Oogie's
Town.
Oh, Oogie Boogie.
I thought it... Yeah. I didn't see the... I thought it was like Oogie's. I was like, Oogie's Town? Oh, Oogie's Town. Like Nightmare Before Christmas.
I have Queen of Hearts Labyrinth. Which they kind of already have a labyrinth maze over in Paris, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Gaston Stronghold was the other one. A boastful, rugged domain inspired by the vain villain of Beauty and the Beast. The vain villain, yes. Interesting.
Well, whatever they name it, we're expecting them to at least give us a hint or actual name at D23 coming up in a couple weeks. So we'll report back and see if we were close or not.
I doubt it with any of these names. We're going to have to think harder.
Yeah. One thing that I do want, and these are, I guess you'd call them rumors, but what I would hope is some kind of Figment announcement about redoing that ride because it's just so bad.
It's like just so bad, yeah.
Yeah, it is. No, seriously. No, we rode it again back in July. We rode it. And the final scene was working better. There was still one part that wasn't like one of the things didn't drop. Like it was already dropped, I guess, the wall, whatever. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
Scene. But otherwise, I mean, it's just like this ride needs to change. Like it's so bad. It just needs something.
I really wish they would at least explore some sort of concept based on the classic attraction, like bring back Dreamfinder. I mean, even though they can't use all of the same space, obviously, they could do a new one involving the two of them and maybe do it in the spirit of the original. So,
yeah. I think Epcot needs something because, yes, it got the short end of the stick. During the COVID years, unfortunately, it was up for getting stuff and it didn't get much.
Yeah.
It needs some more love. Like, we got to do some more for Epcot.
So, well, Test Track's been redone.
Yeah. Which again. Disney didn't really foot the bill on that one. It was all like Chevrolet, but.
Well, it's just, I mean, just thinking about what's been redone recently.
Yeah.
But Test Track's had
great.
Yeah. Soarin's had a redo, right?
Yeah.
In that time period, like which attractions have not been redone in a long time? Figment and the Seas.
The Seas, yeah. Mission
Those
Space.
Are the two.
Well, actually, it has. Yeah.
Mission the Space new. Has had, yeah, they had a, they added a separate mission, yep. But it also at the same time, they redid the original film for reasons unknown.
Yeah, like basically,
well, I don't really.
Gary Sinise out of it, didn't they?
Yeah. They just took away Lieutenant Dan. They cut his legs out from under him.
Literally. Yeah. Poor Lieutenant Dan.
Anyway, that was a bad joke.
It was.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So I think that's a wrap. I think that's good enough for an episode, right?
Put a bow on.
So you can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store for your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We also have the alternative T Public store. You can find that and access to our YouTube channel. Where, Adam?
On our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. And the links to all that is there on our website.
So for Adam, my name's John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. So I told it to give me more, like explore more villains.
Mm-hmm.
So it said Yzma's Obsidian Empire from Emperor's New Groove.
That'd be great.
Mother Gothel's Tangled Thicket.
Oh, wow.
Gaston's Brutal Bastion.